All right, it's good to be home, home with you. Get my microphone on and my glasses on, and I don't have to wear a mask most places anymore. And I was running out of ears between my microphone, my glasses, and my mask. I didn't have enough ears. But what a year it's been, huh? That's great. Tony, thank you for that verse. That was my wife Sherry's absolute favorite verse from Romans chapter 5. The love of God poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. Yeah, I appreciate you. I don't know why you chose that verse. Well, I do know why you chose the verse, because that's what the Lord had you do. So thank you a lot to me today. Amen. The blood of the covenant for the forgiveness of our sins. That's great. Well, great to be back here with you. As Kevin said at the beginning of the service, I preached here for nearly 30 years. And it was great to be here during that time. And then when Andy came and I stepped down from the preaching ministry here, my wife and I started Restore Me Ministry. And many of you helped us with that ministry. Mentoring young ministers, giving rest to ministers and their wives. Ministers need a break. Thanks for giving Andy a break. It's just really important to give those breaks to your ministers. And just take my word for it. And when we wrapped that ministry up, moved back to the Lansing area to be at Great Lakes Christian Homes, which is the best retirement community in the state of Michigan. If you're in that mode or know somebody that is, have them to get a hold of us at Great Lakes Christian Homes. And there I serve as chaplain. I preach there at the chapel service most Sundays. And but I'm happy to be here with you today. It's just great to be here with you. I thought about, you know, as I'm listening to the guys that preached here before and I'm thinking about coming back, I started thinking about things I would do differently if I was starting ministry all over again today. And I think I'm going to write a book or something. I'm going to call it 10 Things I'd Do Differently If I Was Starting Ministry All Over Again Today. One of those things I would do is I would keep a journal from day one of the sermons I preached, of the weddings I officiated at, at the baptisms I was at the funerals I held. And I would just, because I would love to, at this stage of my life, go back and just, you know, page after page after page doing that. And I got thinking about so many of you. And I thought about weddings I'd officiated at, and I thought about baptisms that I was at, and I thought about funerals that I conducted. And I did this first service, and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, not only did you marry me to my wife, but you baptized me into Christ. So that was a double blessing. But how many people, if I have officiated at your wedding, or I was there at your baptism, I was going to say, or if I officiated at your funeral, but that probably would not be appropriate. But if I had a funeral for a spouse, or a parent, or an aunt, or an uncle, so how many people did I connect with here in the room that with weddings, baptisms, funerals? Look at that. What a blessing. What a heritage. And that's the theme that Andy chose for this month. I think it was a brilliant idea. Resetting influence. And he chose some fantastic speakers. And if you've been here for the series, you know that. My son Jeremiah came and preached the first of the series, first Sunday in the month, on Barnabas, the Encourager, Mr. Encourager, I call him. And Jeremiah is preaching for me down at Great Lakes Christian Homes Chapel service today. I told the people, don't worry, you won't even know I'm gone. You know, if you've seen me, you've seen him, vice versa. So I appreciated Jeremiah's message. He's a better preacher than I am, though. And he taught us about Barnabas. And the things we learned from Barnabas the Encourager is to be generous, in our giving, to build partnerships, to stand up for other people, and to seek God together, to be in community together, do life together. And then my good friend Rick Stacy was here the second Sunday. That was a great sermon. I hope you got to see that. If not, you can tune in on the YouTube channel and catch up on that. But 10 things my mother taught me, and everybody's going, yep. 10 out of 10, yeah. 10 things my mother taught me, and he connected that with Timothy, young Timothy in the Bible, because it talks about Timothy's sincere faith. and how that was poured into him by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. And Rick talked about his mom and his grandmother. And I knew Rick's mom, Betty Stacy, and I knew his grandmother, Ewell Grubbs. And boy, they were women of character, women of integrity, women of faith. They had great influence on my life, as well as Rick's, and many, many other Christians, other people. And then Jordan Eckes came up and shared with him. And boy, he just opened up his heart, didn't he? He just has a heart for the Lord and a heart for people. He just opened up his heart and let us see what was going on there as he reminded us of the importance of godly leadership. And there is nothing more important than leadership. Nothing is more important than leadership. I'm kind of a follower of the leadership guru, John Maxwell. And John Maxwell says, everything rises and falls on leadership. And when I first encountered that, I thought, well, yeah, that's pretty good. Almost everything rises and falls on leadership. Then I learned he was right. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So be thankful for good and godly leaders in your life and in your church. And Jordan also reminded us that the very best ability is availability. Make yourself available for God to use you wherever He places you, wherever He plants you. And I'll tell you one thing. I listened to those guys. I watched their messages. Did you notice none of those guys used notes? Not one. And I'm sweating bullets. Because my memory, attention, you know, it's about that long. It's like, you know, a goldfish. You know, every lap around the bowl is a whole new adventure. And that's kind of the way I live my life now. I need stuff written down. Or that's just not going to happen. So I was a little bit intimidated. I thought, man, I got to get up there. Those guys didn't even have a note in their hands or anything. And then Badgero gets up. And he's got papers falling out of his Bible, and he's got stuff written down everywhere. I didn't feel so bad. I am thankful also for Jeff Badgero. He connects people with the gospel, and he connects the gospel with people better than anybody I know, better than anybody I have ever known. You know, it says in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, that God gave some to be evangelists. And he gave a lot of it to Jeff Badgero. I am so grateful for Jeff Badgero. I am grateful to God that there is a Jeff Badgero. I am also grateful to God that there is only one Jeff Badgero. I couldn't stand two Jeff Badgeros, but I'm grateful for one. Okay, he is a dear brother in the faith. Iron sharpens iron. He is just a good man in my life. And I appreciate him and his whole family so very much. So if you're a Christian, you know enough to tell somebody to become a Christian, and, you know, take the opportunity to do that and be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope that you have within you, but with gentleness and respect. But boy, Jeff just has that God-given Holy Spirit ability that not all of us have, very few of us have, to connect people with the gospel. He's so good at that. He's so good. I appreciate him. So all these guys have been here preaching for you these last 4 weeks. And I feel like we've been playing musical pulpits. A few weeks ago, I was preaching up at Beaver Island Christian Church, and my son Jeremiah was at Great Lakes Christian Homes Chapel preaching for me. Then when Jordan Eckes was here preaching for you a couple of weeks ago, Jeremiah went down to Etna Green to preach for Jordan. And now I'm up here this week, and Jeremiah's at Great Lakes Christian Homes Chapel again preaching for me in my absence. So I kind of feel like we've been playing musical pulpits. You know, when the music stops, just get up and preach your message wherever you happen to be. So I happen to be here by your kind and gracious invitation, actually. And so I'm glad to be here. Anybody seen Andy? Like, he's disappeared. He'll be back. Welcome him back. Welcome him back. Anyway, I want to wrap up what the guys said, Jeremiah and Jordan and Rick and Jeff said, because there's all these connections, really, in what they said in Resetting Influence. And by the way, what Jeff did in his message, he just talked about people. And I thought I was reading or hearing a sermon from the 16th chapter of Romans. There Paul mentions 20 to 30 people, I don't know exactly how many, by name, that were influencers in his life. And that's just really what Jeff did. So I want to connect all those dots today and wrap this series up and tell you that as a Christian, you need and I need three people in our lives. And they're the kind of people that Jeremiah and Rick and Jordan and Jeff talked about. First of all, every Christian in their life needs a Paul. Every Christian needs a Paul. And I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is the main character in the book of Acts. He wrote to us most of our New Testament. He's just the driving force of the gospel in the first century. He and others, but it's really Paul that drives the gospel. And it's really Paul that gives us our New Testament. And he is such a tremendous influencer. He is the guy that takes the lead. He is the guy that sets the pace. He is the pathfinder. He is the trailblazer. And everybody needs a Paul that goes before them and leads the way. And that's the Apostle Paul in the Bible. So who's the Paul in your life? Who is your Paul? We're talking about mentors. We're talking about people who influence you, people who go ahead of you, people who lead you in your life. I think of the man who became my father-in-law, Hank McAdams. Some of you knew Hank and appreciated his ministry. Preached the gospel for 60 years. Started preaching when he was 16 years old. And preached the gospel almost every Sunday of his life for 60 years. He taught me so much about the Bible. He taught me so much about Jesus. As a young man, he took me into the homes of people to sit down at their kitchen table or in their living room and tell them about Jesus. That's how I learned how to do that. He just took me along and showed me how to do it. He led the way. He showed the way. And I appreciate that so much. I had mentors all through my life. I had great teachers like Professor Bob Hargrave, Dr. Walt Zorn, Dr. Jim Girdwood, they didn't just get up and teach a lesson. But they mentored me and other students. They cared. They invested their lives into my life and the lives of others. And even in my retirement ministry, my first retirement ministry with Restore Me Ministries and helping mentor young ministers and encourage them and so forth. My wife's uncle, Desmond Cole, had been doing that for decades in his retirement. He's 90 years old and he's driving around in his red Silverado pickup with flames painted on the side. Racing around to encourage ministers and meet with young ministers and be a mentor to them. What a great example he was for me in ministry. Christian ministry is always about being an example. It is all, no matter what you say, what you do is much more important. It's all about leading by example. There is no other way in the Bible. And Peter writes to the elders of the church and he says, be shepherds of the flock of God, being an example to the people. That's what it's all about. So, who's your example? Who are you following? Who's setting the pace for you? Paul says this to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He was leading by example. That's the only way to lead, is by example. And I want you to note that this verse has two parts. It's not just follow my example, but it's follow my example as I follow Christ. Insofar as I follow Christ. All the way that I follow Christ, you can follow my example. Now, if a leader stops following Christ, you stop following the leader. That's where cults go off the rails. That's where some people's faith is, runs amok and shipwrecks, as the Bible says. Because they keep following a leader who is no longer following Christ. So it's qualified here. It's not follow my example, period. It's follow my example, comma, as I follow Christ. Everybody needs a leader in their life. Secondly, everybody needs a Barnabas. That's what Jeremiah talked to us about. Everybody needs an encourager. Everybody needs somebody to come alongside them, encourage them, help them, be a friend to them. So who is your Barnabas? You need a partner. You need to walk alongside other Christians. The Bible says that the phrase Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas at least 11 times. It's Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. It's never just Paul. It's always Paul and Barnabas. And they were partners. But unfortunately, in their lives, they had a falling out. They had a major disagreement that caused a rift between them. And it precipitated a crisis. Now, a crisis is not necessarily a negative situation. It can be an opportunity for growth. Their disagreement was over a young man that they were mentoring by the name of John Mark, who went with them on a missionary trip and fell short and turned back and caused a split, caused a rift between Paul and Barnabas. Well, let's read it. It's in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Let me begin reading with verse 36. It says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are getting along, how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. They split up. They parted company. They went their different ways. But I want you to notice this. They did not quit. They did not quit. That would have caused some people just to throw in the towel. I have had it with this church stuff. I have had it with this Jesus stuff. If that's the way people are going to act, well, forget it. I've seen it happen. And you probably have too. Paul and Barnabas did not quit. What did they do? They multiplied their efforts. Barnabas the encourager took John Mark with him and went to Cyprus. Paul found another partner, Silas, and they went in another direction. So now instead of two ministers doing the work of the Lord, now there's four ministers doing the work of the Lord. The best advice I ever got as a new Christian, I think I was still wet from coming up out of the baptistry when a church lady told me this. She said, "Remember this." She said, "People will always let you down, but Jesus never will." That's a good thing to remember. People will, even people who are your friends, even people who are your partners, you know, you're going to feel let down by them. People will always let you down, but Jesus never will. And in all the years of my Christian walk, I have found that to be true. And if people let you down, you stick even closer with Jesus because He never will. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Sad to say, we have no indication in the Bible that Paul and Barnabas ever reconciled. I don't know that they didn't, but the Bible never says they did. But it does tell us that Paul and John Mark reconciled and did ministry together. And that does my heart good. Well, who are the Barnabases in your life? Who walks alongside you in your life, in your Christian faith? And remember, that may change over time. It did for Paul. It did for Paul. You know, it was Paul and Barnabas for a long time. And then it was Paul and Silas for a long time. And then it was Paul and Timothy for a long time. And so that leads me to teach you that every Christian needs a Timothy. Every Christian needs a Timothy. The guys that preached here, Jeremiah and Rick and Jordan and Jeff, they all have something in common. They're all Timothys of this congregation. That's what we call people who are influenced by a church and then go out to preach other places. We call them Timothys. After this guy in the Bible, young Timothy, we call them Timothys. All four of those guys are Timothys of this church. They grew up here, they were taught here, they were trained here, and they were sent out to minister in other places. And three of the four were ordained by the leaders of this church. Timothys of this congregation. So, you know, who's your Timothy? Who's coming along afterwards? Who's going to take up the leadership in the next generation? Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. He writes this letter. He says, "To Timothy, my true Son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, they weren't blood relatives. They didn't share any DNA. But Paul says that Timothy was his son in the faith. It was a spiritual relationship. Paul taught him. Paul mentored him. Paul brought him up. He was someone who walked in Paul's path and learned from him. Who have you got coming along behind you? Who are you influencing? Paul was never a lone ranger. Always Paul and Barnabas, always Paul and Silas, always Paul and Timothy. He wasn't alone. Even the lone ranger had Tonto, for goodness sake. Can you do ministry together? It's a team effort. Mentoring is bringing someone along behind you. Don't be scared by that. I don't even use the word hardly. But it's because it's kind of scary word, you know. Somebody, would you like to be mentored by me? That's pretty presumptuous. Or a young person, you know, would you mentor me? I would be your Padawan learner, master. You know, we don't do stuff. What we do is we just hang out together. We just be with people. We just, you know, do life together. I grant you, that's been hard to do the last year. I feel like I have been let off the leash. I'm glad to be back with you. I'm glad to be back with anybody. It's just, you know, it's been hard to do life together this past year. But now, you know, engage. Get back connected. Get connected with your Pauls and your Barnabases and your Timothys and do life together. Let me tell you that parents and grandparents have the greatest opportunity to influence the lives of young people. You know, you might mess up with your kids, and then God's gracious, He gives you grandkids, and you get another shot at it. And it's awesome. So I'm enjoying having grandkids. I have two grandsons and two foster granddaughters now. I love them dearly. I just love them dearly. And I try to stay so connected with them and have influence with them. And one of the things I do, I learned this from Jeff Badger. I learned so much from Jeff Badger, but I learned a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. Get God's wisdom, you know. So I thought, why should I just do that on my own? I need to share that. So I've got a text group, a message group every day. That with, I think it's 10 or 12 guys, and all three of my sons, or two of my sons are in that, and my two grandsons are in that group. It's just a guys group. So I'm still influencing my sons, I hope. And I'm trying to influence my grandsons. And every day, we read a chapter in the book of Proverbs together, and we're miles apart, but, you know, we stay connected. And I, you know, try to share a little bit of wisdom or life experience from that proverb that day. It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be time consuming. It doesn't have to be a lifetime commitment. Just be connected with people. Just stay connected. And, if you got kids and if you got grandkids, hey, you've already got a congregation. That's awesome. And the influence that you have in the world may not be what you do. It may be who you raise. It may be that God is raising up a new generation through you, through your kids, through your grandkids, to influence the world for Jesus Christ. And even if you don't have biological children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, it's okay. You know who's one of the most powerful influencers with children in this church that doesn't have any children? Is Allison Neihart. I asked her if I could share this with Sunday school teacher, counselor, therapist, great with kids. She's got more kids than any of us have, even though she doesn't have any kids of her own. You can be an influencer on those who are coming along behind you. Poet Edgar Guest says, "The riches of life are not silver and gold, but fine sons and daughters when we are grown old." And that is true of our own families, and it is true of the family of God. Let us pray together. Father God, it's so good to be home with my church family. I have missed them. I have missed my up north friends. And I thank you for this opportunity to be together with them today. I thank you, Father, for the bigger family of God, the congregation of your love and of your grace and mercy. I thank you, Father, that you have placed us in a forever family and given us people like the Apostle Paul who go on ahead of us, and we follow them as they follow Christ. And I thank you that you give us Barnabases, who men and women who walk alongside us, do life together with us, encourage us, and partner with us. I thank you, Father, that you have given us the opportunity to be influencers in the next generation of Christians, our kids, our grandkids, kids in the church, just kids that we know. Father, may we be mindful that we have an opportunity to influence them. And we thank you for all this, Father, and for calling us to be your followers through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, brethren, I commend you to the grace of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. God bless you all.
Would you stand and sing with us?